flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
So if you check your watch or your phone or your car radio, you would see it is 5:05 on a Friday. It's basically the close of business on a Friday. Actually, in New York City, the close of business on a Friday is Thursday. If you don't ask, yeah, around most companies. Or maybe the close of business is like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But at 5:05, we are here to report that Pete Alonso has not yet signed with the New York Mets or any other team.
Let me check one more time.
Check one more time.
No.
Pete Alonso has not. So, in being fair, Boomer Esiason is going to have to take an L on this one.
Boomer Esiason!
He claimed on Twitter last night that today would be the day Pete Alonso would sign. He said it during the morning show. Today will be the day Pete's going to sign. So, in our studio, we have a stand-up kind of poster of Boomer Esiason. There's a clock around his neck. We're going to remove the clock because the clock has hit midnight. And as customary here on the Evan and Tiki Show, you wear an L. And you got to take the L when you deserve to take the L. This is unfortunately one of those circumstances where our coworker deserves to take an L. So Tiki Barber is now taking the L. He is placing it towards Boomer's chest.
Boomer.
You have been. Hold on a second. Let's get the mic because you're talking to him. Boomer. The mic fell off.
You have been proved horribly wrong. I am sorry for your going out on a limb and it not succeeding for you. But as is the trend here on Evan and Tiki on WFAN, you must now wear the L.
All right. But his microphone is destroyed.
I'm reporting it's the Admirals.
And right now, Tiki is taking the L. He is putting it around Boomer's neck, and it is now there. The L is being worn by Boomer Esiason. And he's doing it with nothing but grace and class, so we respect that. Boomer's got the L. You may notice if you're watching on TV that Phil Simms is attached to Boomer. We don't know why, but Phil's wearing a mask, a Lucha Libre underground mask, because he didn't deserve the shrapnel. Phil didn't do anything wrong. And, yeah, we have a picture of Tiki Barber in Boomer's hand. You know the reason why we have a picture of Tiki Barber in Boomer's hand? Because there's a sponsor on it. And we figured, well, the sponsor didn't pay anything to SNY or WFAN. So we covered it with Tiki Barber in a Breece Hall jersey, just in case you're curious. So
yes, that's a signed Breece Hall picture, by the way.
That's right.
Tiki in a Breece Hall jersey saying, to Tiki, from your favorite player, Breece Hall.
That's right. So Boomer will have to wear the L for the rest of the day, and that'll be it. Then he has served his... punishment for getting this so wrong that Pete Alonso would sign with the Mets. And
looks,
I wanted him to be right.
He good with the L.
He kind of fits him well, right? It looks good. I don't know why this is making me laugh so much. She's looking at Boomer with a smile on his face. An L around his neck.
He looks more like real Boomer now, oddly, with the L on.
And poor Phil's got the Lucha Libre mask on. Ah, makes me laugh. Anyhow, who wants a Cinco?
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. Gasp, it's the bye week before the Super Bowl. Mm. So what are the five things you should be doing with no football this weekend?
Here we go.
Number five.
Have a or attend a Royal Rumble party.
Let's go!
Even if you're not into wrestling, I gotta be honest, the Royal Rumble is the most fun. It brings back the most nostalgia, and it's the easiest to understand event.
The Royal Rumble is Saturday at 6 o'clock, coming up a little bit later on, let's say 6 o'clock right here on The Fan, so we will all make our Royal Rumble predictions. That is a tradition. Mm. I don't know what it's a tradition of. I think it's a tradition dating back to my Saturday show with Tommy. Would we do that on the Saturday show?
It would
show?
Be like me, you, and Jody Mack.
Predicting the Rumble.
Quite the trio. Yeah, we would predict the Rumble.
I think I've been doing this when I used to do the Saturday show every year since 2007. So we'll get to do it coming up at 6 o'clock. But I agree, I'd have it higher than 5, but yes, a Royal Rumble party.
All right, here we go.
Number 4.
Find a way to be involved with Knicks Lakers, whether that's at a very expensive price, getting into Madison Square Garden, because you don't know if this is the last or one of the last chances you'll ever have to see LeBron James play a basketball game in your life, or go to CP the Franchise's watch party at Slate and Watt. I think that would be a great time. And honestly, Lakers Knicks, there is buzz here for Saturday.
And by the way, what's great about Lakers Knicks, I know for Tommy, is that the Royal Rumble starts at 6 o'clock, which is a very early start. That Rumble's going to be over, like, in the first half of the Knicks game.
Will the actual Rumble be over, though?
Yes. Mm. I mean, I think it's a three-hour show. It's over by 9 o'clock. The game starts at 8:30.
Why did I assume the Royal Rumble's going to take 5-6 hours?
Yeah, or start later.
Well, it used to start later, so that's why you're right on it. It used to be 8 o'clock pay-per-views. Mm. For whatever reason, this one's 6 o'clock. I don't know the reason for it. And usually these premium live events?
Yeah, PLEs.
They're usually about 3 hours. So, yeah, I think you can do an easy Rumble into Knicks-Lakers double dip. That Knick game's late. Remember, it's an ABC game. That's why it's 8:30.
Okay, here we go.
Number 3.
Find your significant other after a long football season and take them out for an activity you normally wouldn't do. Instead of the same old, hey, you ever been axe throwing? Go axe throwing. How about a new restaurant you've never tried? Try something different and act like you care about your significant other.
Your significant other is halfway across the country.
Is that you?
That's me.
I know what I'd be doing.
With my kids.
I'd be in my living room by myself.
Yeah, recording a Rico.
I just have my dogs. That's it. Not the Knicks, Tommy.
Yeah.
Yeah, not those dogs. Are you going to be doing something with your wife since you both were like really sick over the last few weeks?
Sort of. We're staying up till midnight tonight. My wife has proclaimed tonight New Year's Eve.
What?
Well, because we've spent most of us sick with the flu or neurovirus for 2 to 3 weeks of January. January sucked. My wife has decided that tonight we're going to stay up till midnight. We're going to count to midnight and say New Year starts now. January to
now. I like that. That's creative.
So that's what we're doing.
I like tonight. That's very creative. Because the end of January.
It's the 31st.
Oh, the 31st. So February is going to start our new year because January sucked in our house.
This January was a crap. I mean, I don't think January was good for anybody.
It was good for me.
Good for Philly fans.
Good for Trump. He got inaugurated. No, you're right. I guess some people had good Januaries.
Yeah.
I just mean the month is so long and like, I don't know.
Right.
Sicky and cold and just. Ah.
The worst. Yeah. All right. Here we go.
Number 2.
What are you guys doing until midnight?
Probably what you'd be doing with your dogs and peanut butter.
It's not cheating if it's your dog.
all right. Back to number 2. Get engaged. Fellas. Hear me out.
What?
I got engaged on the bye week in 2011 or 2012, all right? If you are close to pulling the trigger, dare I say you even have a ring and you're looking for the time to do it.
Well, I hope you already have the ring.
This is the weekend. You end up getting engaged Saturday, Sunday. You make the rounds, the aunts, the uncles, the cousins. There's no football. Then, as you handled next weekend with the Super Bowl, you're a hero. You get at least a week where, oh, wow, could you believe it? So you have the best Super Bowl ever. Then the moment that ends, that following weekend, you want to handle all the accelerated wedding planning. Let's go look at venues. Let's do all that. Not during football season. You have the best clearance of winter cold weekends to start looking at venues.
That's a good point.
I'm telling you, the bye week, the perfect time to get engaged.
Wow. All right.
All right, and here we go.
Number one.
And the number one thing you should do with no football this weekend is stay home away from anyone. The opposite of what I just told you to do.
All right, I think I'll do that.
If you haven't been sick this winter, we heard yesterday, with a person called a quadremic. Yeah. There's COVID that Evan had.
Yep.
I've had the flu. The neurovirus, which I may have had over the last 2 days. Do you really want to catch something this weekend and then risk that your Super Bowl weekend has you with fevers or throwing up?
Yeah.
Stay home.
Nah, it's not terrible advice because it feels like everybody's sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I got sick twice. You got sick twice.
The Facebook community pages are burning up right now.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
People don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Tommy, you haven't been sick.
Yeah, he doesn't get sick.
No, I have not. No kids, though.
Yeah, I think that's the difference.
And I shut off from the job and go to bed.
Right. Do you think, because he has two personalities now, Tommy and Fake Sean, that one of them could get sick, though?
Oh. Fake Sean's actually not a real person, so maybe...
But maybe you guys are like conjoined twins now.
Whenever he brings up Fake Sean, it makes me laugh. Because I kind of deep down think he wants Fake Sean to go away.
Oh, he definitely
But every time he brings him up, he reminds me. So it cues me up to be like, hey, Fake Sean, have you been sick in the last week?
Absolutely not. I have the most perfect immune system ever. Speaking of perfect, let me remind you, the Super Bowl's in about 8 days, and the Giants defeated the Patriots when they were going to have a perfect season. And Philly fans, you can never take it away from us.
I've grown to like Fake Sean.
Have you?
Because so many people hate Fake Sean that it makes me the most likable Sean on the show.
Hold on a second.
I like that.
What they hate Fake Sean is because I'm imitating you, dummy. So they hate your takes. Now, granted, I put him on steroids.
Right, and that's the thing. And because that voice becomes so irritating, my voice now has risen to the point it's very tolerable.
Oh, I agree. It's done a lot for my voice and your voice because the Fake Sean voice is now the most annoying voice on the radio.
So it's working for everybody. That's
great. It's all working out.
All right, thank you, Sean. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you could have made that Fake Sean voice anything, and instead you made it the most annoying voice in the history of WFAN.
It was almost like he did it on purpose. Brilliantly, I might add. Let's go to Frank. Frank on Long Island. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys.
What's up, Frank?
Man, all right, first of all, I'm going to give you a story about rooting for the enemy because I'm a Yankee fan, hate the Red Sox, and me and all my Yankee fan friends rooted for the Red Sox in 86 when they played the Mets.
Why?
So it can be done.
Oh, because it was the Mets.
I think what's different about that, though, like the whole Red Sox-Met thing or, in my case, the Phillies-Yankees thing, is that that's your blood rival in your city and your actual rival. Mm. The Eagles are playing the Chiefs. What do you really hate about the Kansas City Chiefs? This idea that isn't even true, that the league is rigging things for them?
Yeah, but
that they're a dynasty? Like what you actually hate about the Chiefs is so fugazi compared to a local blood rival where, you know, it's different. Like, I can see why you would dislike that.
Right, and it's hard to not root, but I would advise just go agnostically, right? Don't even think about who you're rooting for. Just watch the game and expect to see history if the Kansas City Chiefs win. But, I mean, that's easier said than done, I think, because people feel like they need to root for somebody. But I've just gotten used to not rooting for anybody because I can't.
So you're in a different position because you're right. Like the job you do when you're broadcasting, you got to be fair and balanced, right? As a sports fan, and I've made this claim before and I really believe it, no matter what the game is, if I'm sitting down and watching, I will eventually root for somebody, even if there's no money involved.
You know what? I can see that because when I watch a random soccer match, Arsenal versus, I don't know, Bournemouth or something like that, I don't really care about either one.
Right.
But eventually I'm like, oh, I kind of want this team to win.
Right. Yeah. And it may be a dumb reason, it may not be something you're even passionate about. But eventually, when you sit there, like even some of these playoff games that I didn't have like a strong, passionate right. rooting interest in, eventually I was rooting for somebody. So that's the one caveat with watching something and not having a rooting interest.
Yeah, but that's a passive root. So passive rooting is okay. So if you just kind of watch the game, like, man, Saquon's having an unbelievable day. It got to be awesome if he just wins Super Bowl MVP type of thing.
Right.
And you just, yeah, it could be kind of cool if he won type of thing. It's different than go Eagles, go Saquon, go Jalen Hurts. Like, that's like when you say root, that's what I think.
I got you.
But for me, it's I want to see history. So it's the Chiefs just for the three-peat because you've never seen it before.
But you've said you want to see brilliance. So you're rooting probably for Saquon to go for 200 yards on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Kansas City Chiefs to do something no NFL team's ever done.
That's right.
So you're rooting for all kinds right. of great history.
Because you could say, I saw history when this happened.
You know what's funny, though, about seeing history? And I had this conversation off air with Sean.
Mm.
We were talking about last year's Super Bowl. Because I said to him, hey, do you remember how...
Was that historic in any way?
See, that's my point. You just proved my point. Thank you very much. Thank you. Just walked right into it. Last year was the greatest Super Bowl ever played. But no one remembers it. It was only a year ago, and maybe time will enhance it.
Well, no, I remember what happened, but
it was overtime. We were screaming about the rules. It was amazing.
Right, but historic?
Well, I mean, they won their second straight NFL Super Bowl.
Okay, but whatever. That's been done before. I'm talking about historic.
I think historic in terms of the game was an all-time game. It was if you're making a true Cinco de Five on greatest Super Bowls of all time, and you let time kind of heal wounds, last year's Chiefs Niner overtime Super Bowl is up there. And for whatever reason, I was talking to Sean during one of the breaks, and he's like, yeah, what happened last year? Like, he sort of forgot about
it. Yeah, I mean.
And I don't know if we need more time to go by for you to say, oh, that was an amazing Super Bowl. Like, it's still too recent.
Right.
Like, but that was an all-timer.
And without Juwan Jennings, like, they have no shot. They get blown out, but Jennings was, like unbelievable in that game. Throwing a touchdown, caught one.
I remember that. I'll be honest with you. I don't remember who had the lead and who was the last to score to even force overtime. That's
like,
weird.
Like the details.
Yes.
Well, just remember it because of what the Tony Romo thing, when he was trying to explain the overtime. You remember
the
overtime?
Rules, yeah.
He was trying to explain what happens if they don't score. It just rolls into another quarter.
The quarter.
It just kind of keeps going type of thing. And everybody was like, what the hell are you
And we didn't
about?
Think Kyle Shanahan knew the rules either.
He's like, no, it's actually.
Right.
But just
and he said he didn't, I think.
Well,
but I don't think it was historic. Like, nothing historic was accomplished.
And that's what I want to make something careful. The Patriots-Falcons game was the first ever Super Bowl that went to overtime.
Yes.
That's not a classic great game. I don't think overtime makes it an all-time game.
Are you
game.
Kidding me? 28-3?
Dude, that's they blew the lead. It was like two separate games. It's not a great game.
That's
no, you're right. It was two different blowouts.
Right?
It was 28-3,
yes.
And then it was basically 28-3 in the second half.
It's memorable, but that's not a great Super Bowl.
It's memorable because of the comeback and the fact that it went to overtime for the first time. But he's right. It wasn't a fun game to watch.
But it's remembered by how it ended.
Of course.
It's remembered by what happened. Like that New England Carolina Super Bowl, the Janet Jackson game, as I like to say, that was 0-0 after one quarter. It was still an all-time classic because it had a great ending. So if you're kind of rating games based on the entirety of the 60 minutes, sure. But most of us just rate it based on the amazing ending or the final quarter.
Right. But what I'm saying about this Super Bowl, different than the last Super Bowl, meaning last year's Super Bowl, is that if the Chiefs win, something historic will happen.
Right.
Nobody's ever three-peated in the NFL.
I got you.
So that makes me want to watch it.
I got you. Let's go to Ozzy in Woodridge. What's up, Ozzy?
Hey, man. Even though Boomer let his team down again. I want to try and lighten the mood. Evan inspired me. I wrote a poem.
Oh, lovely.
My appreciation for your show.
Thank you. For those that are not aware, a few days ago, I started to reveal that I'm a poem writer and actually read some of my poems for my wife, including our vows. Yeah. So I'm glad that inspired you, Ozzy. So I'm very excited to hear your poem about our show.
And of course, I am happy again that Sean is back again. And feeling better again.
So. Yes. We are all very happy that he's back again for now.
Yeah. I think he said he lost 4 pounds last week with the beard flu.
Yes.
I think he's seeking out sicknesses now just in attempt to lose weight. So
he's
I think
fat!
He's going on the train, breathing with his mouth open. He's rubbing your beard against his mouth during commercial break. Mm. I think he's just doing this in an attempt to lose some pounds.
Hey, listen, whatever gets it done, man.
But I appreciate your show, so I wanted to show my appreciation.
All right.
All right. Evan Wright's love poem mentioned thing wrong with that. Sean Marash is big and fat. Tiki's job is like herding three cats. Never seen Tommy not wearing one of his hats. Is he balding? Nobody knows. Thank God there isn't never much time for his cute little bridge shows. Best mix of any new show on The Fan. Made Michael Kay throw his afternoon drive career in the garbage can.
Jeez.
Just like he did with that Diet Coke when he mocked the sports talk Pope. Okay. You guys avenged Francesa's honor, and now Fathead K is a goner. Booted from...
He's still doing a show.
Oh, shut up!
Booted from the FM dial, haven't been relevant for a while. Alas, the last hope for ESPN Afternoon Drive, right. Pete and Don, is to bring in Alan Hahn.
I can't take it. Thank you, Ozzy. What a horrible poem. There was like no redeeming quality about it. It was awful.
That was worse than anything you could even ever thought of.
Well, I've written some good poems. See, that's the thing.
That makes me think Ozzy was a plant.
What do you mean?
That Evan knew we hated his poem so much that he had to have Ozzy write a worse poem to fluff his poem.
Let me just tell you right now, I love our show too much to ever plan that. I'm just kidding. Or maybe I'm not. But my poems are damn good. They're love poems. I write love poems to my wife and how wonderful she is. In fact, it inspired me that I'm going to write a new one. Oh, so this weekend, with there being a lack of sports, I'm going to write a poem for my wife just because. Not even our anniversary, not even a birthday, like a just because poem. And by the way, to the husbands out there, all three of you, just because flowers, great idea. You should, in fact, Sean, you've barely shown up to work the last 2 weeks.
Uh-huh. What do you want?
On your way home, just pick up flowers.
Can't do it. I'll get a flower on my face. My wife hates flowers.
Oh, really?
Despises them.
Why?
Hates the smell of them, reminds her of funerals, hates them.
Reminds her of funerals.
Literally, the one thing she hates and asks I never get her.
Wow. Okay.
Smart.
Now, I bring home a box of dots. I'm a hero.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You should then bring home something for her just because. I'm telling you, especially since you're doing that midnight celebration tonight.
Good idea. Good idea.
Thank you very much.
I'll go chunky peanut butter and the dots.
Thank you.
Joey's on the chunky.
Joey's in Massapequa. What's up, Joey?
Yo, what's up, boys?
What's up, man?
I called in a couple days ago. I'm the Giants fan that went Sunday rooting from Philly.
Right.
But let me call DT, who rooted for the Bills Sunday. You didn't write the handbook on fandom. And no one's going to tell me or Lawrence we're not diehards. Listen, if I was a kid, probably a whole different tone. But I'm 33. I just don't care. We're not involved at this stage, and they're in a different class than us. I think I lost all the hate after all the memories the Giants gave me that I still cherish, which most teams don't have.
Yeah.
Look, I'm rooting for this season in the Super Bowl as an IFO. I want to see history. But who do these guys think they are, basically calling us frauds? Child, please.
Child, please. That's how you end a phone call. Mm. By the way, he's right from this standpoint. Because I never voiced my opinion. I was just asking Tiki, Sean, right. Fake Sean, Loogie their opinions. We have no right to take the fan card away from someone because we don't like who they're rooting for. Like, I didn't root for the Buffalo Bills, right. But I would never tell a Jet fan, you're not a real Jet fan. Yeah, like, but I disagree with you.
But I don't think even Lawrence, who called earlier, you missed it, rewind on the Odyssey app because it caught a kerfuffle amongst the listeners of our show.
And what's crazy is if you rewind on the Odyssey app, I think it was like 2:40.
Right.
So it's very early in the show, and all right. He said was he's a diehard Giant fan who's rooting for the Eagles.
But when he says rooting, I don't think that he's celebrating when the Eagles score a touchdown.
Hmm.
I don't think that he's, throwing up Twitter or X, whatever it's called now, and going, oh, my my God, that was awesome. Like, he's not rooting like a fan. He just wants the Eagles to win.
This is exactly what Lauren said at around 2:35 right here on The Fan.
I'm a diehard Giants fan, man, and I have to root for the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
I have to root for the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Root. Not like champion the Eagles. Root.
But the audacity of guys like Sean and fake Sean to say,
fake fan,
you're not a real fan because you're doing something I disagree with. How unpatriotic is that? Mm. You're not a real American because you think this. I mean, what kind of planet are we on?
Hmm. Are you serious?
Am I serious?
Yes. The only habitable one, Evan. Yeah.
I don't work for Sirius. I work for WFAN.
All right, are you WFAN, Evan?
What's the issue?
You trying to compare this like it's something patriotic. There is nothing patriotic about rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Eagles.
Period.
Bald eagle. Mm. America.
Okay, guess what? Yeah. Scumbag Eagles. That's what they are, all right? They don't like us. You don't root for people that don't like it. Now, there's some good Eagle fans. We know one, Tiggy. Not all are bad, but 99% of them are crappy people. So, you know what? Screw them. You shouldn't be rooting for them.
And you take their fan card away.
Yes!
Because you're the fan police.
You know what? You call your old friend Joe. Okay, you ask him what that's
call
like.
Call who?
Call Joe.
Call Beningo?
Evan, you know what?
Say what? Evan, ask him what?
All right. If the Super Bowl tomorrow or next week is played, and it is the Miami Dolphins versus, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboys, and any Jet fan called and said, Evan, I got to be honest with you, I'm rooting for the Dolphins. I hate the Cowboys. They're America's team. What would your response be?
I would say you're crazy. Mm.
Would you take away their Jet card because it's their rival?
I would vehemently disagree with them. Maybe scream at them, which is not really appropriate, but I may do a little screaming, what's wrong with you? I don't think at any point, though, during my screaming and yelling and belly aching, would I say, take your fan card away. I don't think I would do that because I'm not
so
as
why
ego-
do it for the Giants?
Yeah, because fans. He's egotistical to think that can take fandoms away. I don't feel that way. I would never take the fandom card away from somebody. Could you imagine thinking that much about yourself?
So, okay, how about this? The New England Patriots, when they won that Super Bowl with Darrell Revis, did any caller call and say, I got to be honest, I'm rooting for the Patriots. I want Revis to win the ring. What would you say to them?
I yelled at him.
Okay. Mm. Would you consider them real Jet fans?
I am not one to take away. I'm not taking away anyone's fandom. I can't do
that's
that.
That's interesting.
When we come back, we have an update on more athletes chiming in on would they give up an MVP for a championship. Cam Newton caused quite a kerfuffle on that yesterday. I like this one. So Tiki has said numerous times he wants to watch history. And this Super Bowl is about history. So one of our listeners decided to create his own parlay, and he's called it the Tiki Barber History Parlay.
Oh, I like this.
Three things on this parlay.
All right, let's hear
it. If you hit these three things on a $10 bet, you'd win $8,634.
What?
Not even kidding you. Kidding? If it's $100, I think you'd win like $86,000.
Wow.
So here's the bet. Three things. Kansas City Chiefs money line, because that means they win.
They
three-peat.
Of course.
Okay. Saquon Barkley over 200 rushing yards.
Okay.
History, right?
History.
So the juxtaposition is the Chiefs are winning.
Right.
Yet Saquon is rushing for 200 yards. And then the third is Saquon scores four or more touchdowns. Those are all things that have never happened. Obviously, the rushing record is Timmy Smith, so he'd be breaking it or at least coming close to it. Four touchdowns has never happened, and the Chiefs three-peat. If you parlay those three in the Tiki Barber history parlay, $10 to win $8,600.
The only reason it won't happen is because I don't think Saquon will go for four 20-plus yard touchdowns.
Yeah.
Or a 10-plus yard touchdown.
It's asking a lot.
Because after you get inside the tight red area.
Yeah, they're going to do the tush push.
It's all Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
It's Jalen Hurts boots. It's Jalen Hurts, you know, QB draws. And it's tush push.
Yeah. And then also, with all that, the Chiefs have to win anyway.
I know.
But I like it. It's a good idea. It's the Tiki Barber, I want to see history parlay.
You might as well bet the over, too. Because if Saquon has four touchdowns and the Chiefs win, you're at least set 60-something points.
That's right. Yeah. Throw the over in there. You're right, just to make it interesting.
What is the over under in the game, Sean? Do you know?
The game total?
Yeah.
Let me look it up in a second.
I'm going to guess 48. That's going to be my number. The reason 48. I say that, that was the same over-under for Kansas City Buffalo. It was sitting at 48. So I'm figuring. And by the way, Philly, Washington, same thing. They both had 48 as the over-under. So I'm assuming if they were both 48,
it's
on
48 and a half.
Say, yeah.
So definitely just throwing the over then.
That's right.
Even though it probably won't add much.
Yesterday, right around this time, we were having an interesting discussion because you may have heard that Cam Newton said he would not give up his MVP for a Super Bowl. So we talked about it. We asked Tiki's opinion. And a caller called up towards the end of the show and said, you guys should ask Boomer that question, considering, of course, he won an MVP and lost the Super Bowl. So we asked Sean, hey, Sean, you want to text Boomer and get his answer on this thing? So Sean did. Boomer did give an answer, but he also gave an answer earlier this morning on the morning show, and this is how it sounded.
He asked me whether or not had I heard what Cam Newton said yesterday about he would keep his MVP trophy over winning the Super Bowl. And he knew that I had won the MVP trophy, and he wanted to know whether or not I would trade the MVP trophy for a Super Bowl victory. And I just said, you dopes don't know me well enough to be able to answer that yourself.
I mean, yeah. Well, we would assume that, but we can't put the words in your mouth.
Right. I think we even said that.
Yeah. Assume that, yeah, knowing Boomer, he would never do, he'd want the Super Bowl.
100%.
So we just wanted to confirm it. But in that discussion, Sean, he said something very interesting I want to play for you because...
Okay.
Sean Morash was on the Boomer and Geo Live about a month and a half ago.
It was right around actually Thanksgiving.
And Boomer, kindness of his own heart, because he is a kind guy, says to Sean, hey, thanks for doing this. I'm going to take you to a Ranger game. And Sean's like, oh, I really appreciate that. And Sean wasn't asking for it at all. Sean was just like, okay, great. And Sean then reached out to Boomer and said, hey, Ranger game, what's going on? It hasn't happened. Okay?
And I'm okay with that.
Sean's okay with it. Okay, fine. So when Boomer was referencing that Sean texted him this question, listen to what Boomer said.
Marash sent me the text.
Okay.
And I think he's still trying to like stay in front of me so I can take him to a Ranger game, too. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
That's not right. No, I'm not.
Because he's the one who offered it.
You should also know that the only reason Sean reached out was because you asked him to.
That's exactly it. And why have I been hesitant to text him? Why? Evan, you know why. Go ahead. Say why.
You're hesitant to text him so that you don't come across like you're begging to go to the Ranger game with him.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I listened to that show long enough to know that those who beg from them, Peter Schwartz, who they reference every day, get made fun of. I don't want to be in that category. I'm not begging for anything.
But so think about it. You texted him about something completely unrelated, mainly because I asked you to. I said, hey, text him about this question, and he turned it into you begging for the Ranger
ticket. And this is what I said. The last time you asked me to text Boomer, remember I didn't text him, and why didn't I text him? Because I said the moment Boomer looks at his phone... He's going to see the last text when he then ignored and didn't follow up what he was supposed to do with the game. So that's why I didn't even want to text him.
So you just want to drop this now?
Yes, because it's uncomfortable.
But he offered you the tickets.
I know, but now it's gotten to the point where if he does offer me to go to the game, it's like he feels obligated. I don't want to go anywhere with anybody where they feel obligated to go with me. Either you want to go or you don't. And if you don't, I take zero offense. I could go sit in the bridge.
How would you handle this, Fake Sean? Like, if this was your situation where Boomer offered you tickets, and now he's kind of like, nah, and then he's making fun that you're begging for it. Like, yeah. Fake Sean, can you give Sean advice on how he should handle this?
Yes, here's what would be my advice. I would call him up on the phone, and I would say, hey, Boomer, just like you dropped the ball in the Super Bowl and you lost that game and you make it about your defense, here's the facts. You didn't outdo the 49ers and Joe Montana. You dropped the ball. You're dropping the ball with this. When I appeared on Boomer and Geo Live and absolutely embarrassed myself again by being 75% naked on the stage and everybody making fun of me, you fat, you promised me to go to a Ranger game. And even though the Ranger season is over, you should still take me to a game.
He had a tough time getting through it. You can tell.
He couldn't think of what he wanted to say.
I think he was. Exactly. I think
he figured it out.
No, my headphones actually came out, so I stopped hearing myself.
Oh. He figured it out eventually.
I thought Fake Sean was laughing so hard at himself he couldn't finish it. Like he was so happy.
I think Real Loogie sometimes laughs at Fake Sean's material during it.
So all due respect to Fake Sean, I do have to be a little bit of a man here and stand up for myself to say I'm trying to stay in front of taking the game, Boomer.
Well, I think Boomer was a little bit out of line there.
I think he was wrong
because he doesn't know that Evan forced you to reach out to Boomer.
I did force. Well, it was because a caller asked. It was a great question, by the way. It's a great question
I
for him.
That, I put that on me, Sean, because I can just text Boomer, and he would have gotten back to me.
That's true.
And, there would have been no, Tiki's trying to get me to take him to a game.
Of course.
Because trust me, if he asked me to go, I'd say no.
And not for nothing, Boomer, there are people that would bang down doors to beg to go to a Ranger game with me. Mm. So I don't need to beg anymore.
Really? Mm. Who's banging down doors to go to a Ranger game with you?
I have been called.
He's the Uber fan.
Sean?
Yes.
I have been called the voice of the young Ranger fan on WFAN numerous times.
Oh, the young Ranger fan?
Well,
is that your way of clarifying that Boomer is the voice of the old Ranger fan?
Look, remember that caller we had earlier was like, I saw Bart Starr play.
Yeah.
Those kind of Ranger fans are begging to go with Boomer.
Gotcha.
Anybody who thinks Patrick Mahomes the greatest quarterback of all time is begging to go with me.
I gotcha. Huh? You still confident in the Rangers, even though the Islanders have jumped them in the standings?
Very confident.
Okay. I'm just asking.
We got the Four Nations face-off. It's going to be a nice reset for us.
I still don't understand what the hell this is.
I don't
There's
either.
A Four Nations face-off.
Yeah, what is that again?
So
is it this weekend?
No, it starts immediately after the Super Bowl for 2 weeks. Finland, Sweden, the U.S., and Canada will have a four-team tournament.
Okay, so NHL players are playing in this.
Yes, there no All-Star game this year.
So is this a precursor to letting NHL players play in the Olympics?
Back in the Olympics.
Back in the Olympics,
or this is like a give-back because the NHL players liked... So these four nations will have their best players play for 2 weeks.
So
the NHL season shutting down.
It's basically the World Baseball Classic.
Yes.
Because they created the event. There's only four countries in it, too.
When is the All-Star game? When's the All-Star game?
They're not doing it now. It's usually right or the weekend after the Super Bowl.
Oh.
So they're taking no
All-Star
game.
Why are they getting rid of the All-Star game?
They're doing it this year, I think, just because they wanted to do like a global event. That's what the players want.
Are we going to be excited if America wins, or are we not going to care?
I largely think we're not going to
care. Yeah.
I give them this. They're trying to do it after football to create some buzz and then hope that for their stretch to the season, people
care. I understand.
I'm not going to care.
I just imagine that the diehard fan is going to be very upset if someone gets hurt in the midst of this competition.
Well, that too. And on top of the moment the Super Bowl ends, I want to like dig my teeth into like I want to watch my team play.
Right. You want to watch your team.
So now after the football ends, I'm not going to see my team play for 2.5 weeks.
No, I get that.
That's a good point.
I get that. Let's go to Pat on Long Island. How are you, Pat?
Hey, Tiki and Evan. First time calling into the show.
Well, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Look, Evan, I think you might have to grow your beard back out. We could be waiting for a while here for Pete. I think you got to grow that beard back out, man. You got to grow that beard out till he resigns.
Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. I had such a beautiful, long, incredibly red/grayish beard, and it took me 7 months to get there.
Yeah, I actually started to like it.
No, me too. I almost regret that I took it off. If I grow a beard now and he signs in the middle of March, which has been a prediction I've had for a while that this may go deep into spring training, it ain't even going to be nearly as long as it was for that first run. So I think the better idea is to take my beard, which I have in my office right now after I cut it, put it on some kind of like matting and put it back on my face. That would be my idea. Just go back to the beard.
Look good.
You don't think so?
That's going to look terrible.
You got to look weird?
How are you even going to do it?
I don't know.
Because it's individual. I can't even imagine how you would go about doing that.
There's nobody that would take used beard hair and somehow make it like a beard.
They're called serial killers. You're like Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs. You can't be doing that.
It would be like a wig for your face.
No, it's not a man unit. It would be... No, that's not... Come on, bro.
It's a wig for your face. What's wrong with that?
There's better ways to get hair on your face.
How?
Grow it?
Yeah, but it takes a long time. That's my point. Like, it would take me a very long time to grow that kind of beard back.
It really didn't take you that long to grow a beard, though. Like, I'd say it only a couple of weeks where it's like a beard. You know what I mean?
I will do this. I will do this to our caller and for anyone who wants this. I will not shave until Pete Alonso signs. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is, even if it's a month from now, I don't think it's going to be that crazy. But I'll do it. I promise you this. I'll do it again.
It's a sequel.
It's the sequel. Mm. Now, one thing we know about sequels, they're never good as the original.
Right.
And so I warn you about that.
And they often get stopped mid-series.
Yes, and it will, because Pete is going, like, think about it. It's January 31st, all right? I'm not going to shave. We all know he's signing before March 27th. He's not going to sign before the season starts,
somewhere,
right?
Somewhere. Even if it's not the Mets.
If I let my beard go until March 27th, it's not going to be that crazy. It'll be average. It'll be like, Evan's got a beard. Mm. But I'll do it for the sake of trying to bring back the magic. Okay? I'll do that.
How about you just do like a reverse hygiene thing? You put on deodorant every day.
I don't think it'll work though, Sean.
Why not?
I don't think it brings Pete back. I think the beard is the only hope, unfortunately.
He can't he doesn't know.
Yeah, but
So with the beard, he can see.
Yeah,
no, but hold on. He can watch our show on SNY and see Evan growing the beard and say, wow, Evan's doing it again. He's doing it for me. He's doing it for every Met fan. I need to re-sign with the Mets. Now, if he just wears deodorant, not like he can smell them through the television.
Exactly.
Or through the free Odyssey app.
But sometimes you need
He can't know.
I think Sean's being very selfish. He's only thinking about his nostrils. No, he's not thinking about the game as a whole.
Sean is on the other side of the glass.
Because to Evan's point, I don't think that Pete will be able to tell the beard thing in time, where I think metaphorically in the universe, what Evan could be doing is taking the stink that is currently over the Mets and the Alonso negotiations right now.
I think the stink is over the Scott Boras side of the negotiations.
Right.
Like, honestly, most people are on the Mets side right now because the Mets are basically saying, here's your offer, you should take it. And Pete and Scott Boras are the ones that are throwing out all these fake ideas.
Right.
Like, they want the Mets to negotiate against themselves. I heard Big Mac say this the other night, and I'm usually on the same page with him. He's like, I don't understand why fans are siding with ownership. And in general, I agree with him. I tend to side with the players. Like, in general. This is not about owner versus player. This is about this individual situation. Why would you be mad, as of now, things can change once he signs, as of now, how could you be mad at an owner and a president of baseball operations who's saying, we're not going to negotiate against ourselves?
Right.
We've made a good offer. It's probably the best offer he has. We're not just going to make a better offer to make people happy. That's bad business.
$800 million of equity that they have in signing Juan Soto. That's why the Met fan is on Steve Cohen's side.
I think that's a big part of it.
Of course,
but I also think the other part of it is, like, here's where things will change. If Pete signs with the Blue Jays, and it's a three-year, $90 million deal, there will be Met fans, I'll probably be one of them, that will look at that contract and say, hey, the Mets should have matched that.
Yeah, but that's $22 million more than they offered.
I understand. But my point is, once there's another offer accepted, I get the criticism of the Mets. Right now, what are you criticizing the Mets for? They've made the highest offer!
Right.
They think they got to negotiate against themselves? So, that's the... This will change once he signs. The discourse will be different. We'll have different discussions on it. And there will be more, if he leaves, debate on if the Mets did the right or wrong thing. But as of right now, as long as he remains unsigned and the Mets have had the best reported offer out there, like, what are they doing wrong?
Nothing. They're doing this exactly right.
Yes.
I give the Mets credit for not letting Scott Boras take advantage of them.
That's right.
Or the emotions of the Met fan and Steve Cohen, who is a Met fan, get the best of them.
Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's next on SNY. Let's go to Justin down in Philly, our friends down in Philly. How are you, Justin?
What's up, Justin?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good.
Good. What's up?
So I wanted to give you two reasons why, as a Giants fan, I could never root for the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Number one.
Being a Giants fan, Philly is my most hated rival. I can't stand them. I would root for any other team other than the Eagles. Just that simple.
Yeah, I got you.
Right.
Second reason, though, and I think the Jets fans might agree with me, is everybody talks about Tom Brady being the greatest of all time. Tom Brady is number one. I wasn't a big Tom Brady fan. I wasn't a Patriots fan. I'm happy Eli was able to beat him twice. The Eagles also took that from the Giants, being the only team to beat the Patriots. But I want to see Patrick Mahomes knock Brady off that pedestal.
Damn right. And that is where you and I, Justin, even though I'm not a Giant fan, completely agree. In fact, if you rewind to 2 o'clock, that was the main point after we put a clock around Boomer's neck, soon replaced by an L because Pete Alonso didn't re-sign with the Mets, that I want to see Mahomes surpass Brady. And through 7 years, he has. Through the first 7 years of their careers, it's not even close. Every stat. Winning stats, touchdown stats, quarter, whatever number you want to look at through 7 years, this isn't debatable. Patrick Mahomes is better than Tom Brady, period, stop. What happens over the next 7 years? I don't know. What happens over the final 7 years? I don't know. But as of right now, Mahomes is better than Brady.